Greetings, friends. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, God says that we cannot serve Him and serve mammon. We either have to serve God or serve mammon. We cannot do both. And we define mammon, according to the scriptures, as wealth personified, the pursuit of wealth, as though wealth were a person and we were pursuing wealth, that we're in love with wealth and what wealth can bring us. And God says, if that's what we're concerned about, then we can't be concerned about God also. We can't have God first in our lives if we have the pursuit of another lover first in our lives. If we love money and what it can bring, the prestige, the big house, the big car, you know, going out to restaurants, the fanciest restaurants, all that kind of stuff. If that's where our heart is, if that's where our treasure is, then God says, all right, pursue it. See where you're going to end up. But just leave me out of the picture, because that's what we're going to do anyway. So how about you? Are you serving God or are you serving mammon? And be honest. Now, in order to help you to be honest, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you spend your time on? What do you spend your time on? There are three questions you can ask yourself to help you accurately assess your standing with God, i.e., are you serving God or are you really serving mammon? The first question we covered in our last program, which is, what do you spend your money on? Now, in this program, we're going to talk about what do you spend your time on. God tells us very clearly one of the main ways we can determine if we are serving Him or serving mammon. And it's found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. This is found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, the cares, and I want you to underline that word, highlight it, note it in your mind. The cares of this world, what you care about according to this world, the cares of this world. What do people in this world care about? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, because people think that being rich is going to make them happy, it's going to make them fulfilled, give them everything they thought that would make life fun and successful, that it would make it a great blessing. That's deceitful, because riches corrupt. I mean, if you buy a new car, it literally rusts, right? It corrupts. You buy a new house, eventually, if you're like most people, you just get very used to it, and in fact, sometimes it becomes a drag. It becomes your master, because you're spending so much time keeping up the yard, keeping the house fixed up. A lot of people, especially as they get older, they want to downsize. They just want something small. In fact, some people just want to move into an apartment after they tried all their lives to get out of an apartment, to get a nice house. And then they want to go back into an apartment just to downsize so they don't have all those responsibilities. So having a big house, a big car, big clothes, all that kind of stuff, that's deceitful. It does not bring us lasting happiness. But the cares of this world, what we care about, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, all these things choke the word. See, it doesn't leave enough time for the word. And the word becomes unfruitful. It's like the word is trying to grow up in your life. But all these other things, what you care about in this world, in this age, for this time, this short 70 years that you're going to be on this earth, 80 years if you're fortunate, for this short period of time, what you care about in this world can choke off the word. It doesn't get enough time. It doesn't get enough time in the sun. It doesn't get enough time in the rain. And so it becomes unfruitful. It just dries up. And that's how we can determine, that's one of the ways we can determine if we're serving God or serving mammon, is looking at what we spend our time on. And what you spend your time on tells God a lot about what you care about. And if you're a typical single American earning 168 hours per week of time, and I say that because there's 24 hours per day, and there's 7 days a week. So each one of us, in a sense, earns 168 hours per week of time. Just like we have a salary, we go to work, we earn some money. Well, just in living, you are having some time. That's 168 hours per week of time. 24 hours per day, 7 days per week. So if you're a typical American, here's where your life goes each week. This is how you spend your time each week. Well, let's say, for instance, that during the weekdays, you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you start your personal grooming. Hopefully, guys especially, you do this. You wash up in the morning, you brush your teeth, all right? You comb your hair, you put on some clean underwear. Hopefully, guys, you do that, single guys especially. So you wake up 6 o'clock in the morning. Maybe it takes you 45 minutes to get ready. So from 6 to 6:45 a.m. is personal grooming. Then from 6:45 to 7 o'clock, you grab a quick breakfast. Then from 7 to 8 o'clock, you commute to work. And it may not take you an hour. Might take you 45 minutes, but by the time you park in a garage and then get up to your office and get some coffee and sit down to work and you clock in, it's 8 o'clock. So the commute to work, let's say, is an hour from 7 to 8. Then you actually work from 8 to 5 p.m. Now, that's kind of a joke, right? I mean, how many people only work their 8 hours per day plus the hour for lunch? That's why it's from 8 to 5 p.m., that 9 hours. How many people only work 8 hours a day? Most people are going to work through their lunchtime, and then most people are working much more than just the 8 hours or 9 hours per day if you include working through lunch. So that's kind of a joke. But then you have the commute home, again an hour, because maybe you've got to do some errands or something like that. So that's from 5 to 6 o'clock. Then you sit down and you eat dinner. That's from 6 to 7 o'clock. You got to prepare something, then eat it. Might be pizza just about every night, but you know, even that, you've got to, hopefully, fellas, clean up after yourself. So just the whole dinner preparation, eating, cleanup, let's say that takes an hour. That's from 6 to 7. Then from 7 to 9 o'clock, you're on the computer, hopefully not doing something you shouldn't be doing. Then perhaps also you're making some phone calls, because if you're single, maybe you're trying to get married, so you're trying to call some young ladies, or, you know, young ladies, maybe you're calling some guys. And then maybe even you're doing some school work or miscellaneous things. But let's say that that's from 7 to 9 o'clock, 2 hours there doing stuff. Then you just want to settle down and watch some TV. Monday Night Football, you know, guys love watching Spike TV, you know. Girls like watching the Lifetime television or the Women's Network, the We Network, whatever it is. You might even want to sit down and watch CNN News. Let's say that we'll give you the benefit of doubt, Animal Planet, National Geographic, something really educational, okay? And perhaps also, if you're not watching TV, you have a hobby. Maybe you're, you know, practicing an instrument or something like that. Let's say that goes from 9 to 11 o'clock. Then you go to bed at 11 o'clock. All right? You sleep from 11 to 6 because you want to get 8 hours of sleep. That's your whole day. And then on weekends, of course, that's what you leave really for your entertainment. That's when you step out on the town. And then on Sunday, that's when you do your housework or run errands, getting your car fixed, whatever needs to be taken care of. So let me ask you this question. That's the 24 hours in the day. But what is missing in this list? There's a huge, huge thing that's missing in this list. And what is missing in this list? What is missing in this list is God. And that's huge. If you do not spend any time with God, that tells God something about you, whether or not you're serving Him or serving Mammon. Because again, wherever your heart is, or wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Whatever you care about in this world, that's what is going to consume your time. And so if you're just a typical American following that type of pattern that I just laid out, there's something that's missing, and it's God. It's spending quality time with God. Also spending time helping other people in need? So a couple of questions that flow from that. How much time do you spend in prayer? Maybe you ask for a blessing on the meal before you eat. Is that all you do, is spend a few seconds praying over a meal? What about Bible study time? How much time do you spend actually reading the Word of God so you can find out the will of God? God is a being with whom you should have a relationship, and every relationship needs time in order for it to grow, quality time. And what about helping people in need? How often have you gone to a hospital to comfort somebody, or gone to a person's home to comfort them? How often have you cut someone else's grass when they've been dealing with a family tragedy, or maybe done some babysitting for your nephews because you're sister or brother needed to go out of town for some kind of reason? I mean, how often, how much time do you spend helping people in need? So remember, the scripture says that the cares of this world, what we care about in this world, in this age, are 70 years here on this earth. It tells God a lot about whether or not we care about Him. So the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things, they choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. And my friends, God does not want you to have an unfruitful life. So let me give you some suggestions on how you can make your life more fruitful, producing the type of fruit that will truly satisfy all of your desires. The first thing for sure is prayer. And you should give God the best of your time. So, if the best of your time is early in the morning, if that's when you're awake, then pray in the morning. And start off trying to spend at least 15 minutes in prayer. And you can be thanking God, especially for life, for everything. So start off thanking God for His creation, for His love, for who He is, and for all of the blessings that He's already given you. Then spend time praying for other people, that God would help them to grow in love for Him. And then go out and spend time helping people in need. And if you don't know where to get started there, then let me give you this advice. You can help kids in a fishing club that we are sponsoring. This would be a volunteer opportunity for you to help kids in a fishing club. And you can log on to www.offthehookfishingclub.org. That's www.offthehookfishingclub.org, and that's all one word, offthehookfishingclub.org. You can look at the excellent and wonderful, robust schedule that we have planned for kids aged 9 through 17, and to help them to learn about fishing, but not just that, to learn about life. And so please log on to that website so you can find a volunteer opportunity. That's how you can help people in need. Just an example. Also, if you need something to read to help you in your Bible study, to help you to understand the Bible, then please, please log on to our website, which is www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org.